Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses to podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And I did the finger thing, Sean.
I did the finger thing too. You know what's great, Mike?
It feels good.
We've had some fun over the last couple episodes. We've had some cool guests on. We've had three guests on over the last four episodes.
We had some cool guests, and then we had Jip.
And we canceled all of the other guests that we had booked because of that, because the experience was just so awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys should have seen, like, he showed up, and he was like, where's my green M&Ms? And I was like, they are fucking M&Ms. They all taste the same. Why does it matter?
This is a really good Jip bit, by the way, that you're doing. This is really good. Keep going.
Anyways, the point of all this is that Jip was so bad on the podcast that we have decided that we're going to do the rest of the season by ourselves.
Well, a lot has changed since that episode, actually.
Yeah, we got a lot
not
to
a
talk
lot of time
about.
Has gone by, but a lot has changed.
The world has shifted beneath our feet.
Yeah. I watched every episode.
Yeah.
So I know who won.
How do you feel? Well, we'll talk about that as well. Yeah. How do you feel?
I think it was a satisfying experience. I don't really want to talk too much about it, but I just got to the point after this episode, watching this episode, because I didn't finish this episode the first time I started watching it. I don't know if everybody remembers, but I got really mad at something that happens in this episode. And so I stopped, finished it, and then just had to keep powering through. And so I'm glad I did, because I think I easily would have met the fate that happened to you, Sean.
Yes. So, I went on Twitter today, and actually earlier in the day, I had seen an article about the fact that the winner of the game hadn't been paid their money, but the person that was tweeting it hadn't used the name, because, like, you know, it makes sense not to use the name. And then I opened Twitter a couple hours later, and I got spoiled through a retweet of a quote tweet of a tweet that had the name of the winner. So I know who wins Squid Game. Unfortunately. This is very upsetting for me. I actually screamed when it happened. I'm not lying. I yelled no as I saw the name. And like, I don't know. I understand that it's been a couple days. And like, with the way that this was meant to be consumed, I should have seen it by now. But it goes back around to, like, this is kind of the exact reason I don't really like the idea of the binge model. And even, like, these kind of batch releases. Because, you know, I mean, we're spacing them out, but we're not even spacing them out that much. There's, like, a couple days in between each episode.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so the fact that even, like, we're three away, like, at the time that I'd seen it, I was two away, you know, like, in terms of episodes to watch, not episodes to record podcasts about, but the fact that I was only, like, two episodes away from it, and it's like, all right, here it is, here's the spoiler, is like, it really upset me. I was gonna have a higher energy bit about this.
Yeah, you were, like, talking a big game about how you were gonna, like, storm Netflix HQ and eat the rich, and
but as I started talking about it, I'm just sad.
Yeah,
I feel like this was a really, like, cool experience that was ruined.
Here's the thing, anyway. Though, Sean, you were kind of playing with fire, because you were sending me TikToks. You were sending me TikToks from different competitors in the game.
What I was doing is I was at least being careful in the way that, like, I was seeing when the TikToks were posted first, and I was seeing who they were by, and so I would only watch ones by people that had already been eliminated from what I'd seen, and from ones that were posted before the second batch of episodes had come out. So the TikToks didn't spoil anything for me. I was being cautious with the TikToks. It was this one article, and honestly, that's the only time I've seen it spoiled. I know you said that Netflix almost spoiled it for you.
Yeah, the day we recorded the last episode, it said, because we recorded it on the day mm-hmm. the finale was posting, and it said the winner of Squid Game, the challenge is, and there was like a delay in the video, and I was like, oh, and I quick scrolled off of it. Yeah. So yeah, a little disappointing that you got spoiled, but we're gonna
power through.
Forward.
It's gonna be a good time. I can come back around a little bit to my bit that I was gonna do, but then completely lost the energy for. Binge culture is the fucking worst. Whoever came up with this should rot in hell. It's unnatural and wrong. It's really embarrassing if you guys are in the Discord, because I said I'm gonna unload my entire manifesto against binging on the podcast. Just wait, and that's not what happened.
No, you definitely lost some steam here.
I did. I do want to know, like, this was important. I said it in the Discord that I don't blame any of you bingers out there. You've been forced into this system that will punish you if you don't binge. And I'm really upset that this minorly inconvenienced my life.
I think the real enemy here is Twitter.
I think the real enemy here is Ted Sarandos.
Well, I mean, you might have to take him out, Sean.
Hey, I would never do that.
Man, this guy was talking a big game off air, you guys.
Hang on a second.
He was like, put your sniper reticles on, Ted. Get him out of here.
I would never get rid of Ted Sarandos. See, I gotta be very careful about what I say, because...
Yeah.
Because people listen to this.
People actually listen to this. You can't just say whatever you
so,
want.
So, you know, you guys
that
can
being said,
in the
Sean,
blanks.
Should we probably get into the episode? I know mean, you really want to do this bit, but I feel like you don't have the energy for it, and then you're also just not doing it. So I think we should move forward.
I was going to do that, and you kept trying to set me up for the bit, and we just kept floundering, or I kept floundering it. So
yeah,
I think we should move forward.
Yeah, we're going to talk about episode 8 here, and the last episode ended with Trey taking a leap of faith. It's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, I've never been angrier. I don't know, like watching Squid Game, I was probably angrier, but that was fucking, that made me so upset. Just the, it was a very intense cliffhanger.
So this episode starts with the Trey talking head where he talks about how both his parents, Leanne, who we know, and his father, who we don't know, were incredible athletes. And growing up, he tried all these different sports, and it just never clicked for him, and how much pressure there was in that, and how frustrating it was for him to grow up like that. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know. I guess I don't. They didn't want to just start with the outcome of his jump, but I don't really understand where he was going with this talking head, or why it really matters to what we're talking about here.
It's a weird talking head. I don't really know.
Because it's not like this is an athletic bit, like, you know what I mean? Like, he does leap, but, like, you could walk across. You didn't have to leap.
Yeah.
So Trey is an absolute legend because he picked the right one.
Yes.
And he kind of looks back at Ashley.
Yeah,
like,
he gives
really?
Some crazy side eye to her.
Like, really? And she goes, chill, just take your time. And Roland... And is at the back, and he goes, you know, I think it's fair if someone steps up, and she looks back at him and goes, shit, you talking?
Yeah.
And so...
Do you want to talk about all this now?
Yeah, because you sent me a TikTok, and you were like, hey, Trey kind of explains this situation more. And I don't... The TikTok was basically him saying, like, hey, you know, it's not Ashley's fault. I never came out and just... bluntly asked her to do it. When Marina did it, I kind of just hinted that I wanted her to do it, and then she took the initiative and did it. That plan hadn't really gone through in a positive way up until that point, so Ashley not wanting to do it makes sense, you know, and all that. And I get it. Trey's a nice guy. Okay? Mm-hmm. Trey is just as nice of a guy as you imagine he was from the show, right?
Yeah.
This doesn't excuse Ashley for me. This is like Trey didn't tell me anything I already didn't know.
Yeah.
Right? I know he didn't ask her to. I know that she refused to do it. And I know that she took a jump later.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Made it. and then immediately was like, one of you motherfuckers get in front of me and jump. So to me, it's just like, it doesn't excuse her. And then what we kind of have happen later really just kind of paints how I feel about this. And there's another thing that happens in the next episode, I believe, Sean.
Mm.
That I think it's the next episode. Hold on, because I watched all three. I got to make sure. Yeah. It's the next episode. Something that happens, and it just makes it even worse for me. And you'll see when we get there. But I really do think Trey would still be in the game.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And she was gonna have to jump when he failed anyway, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just like it was just not a team player. She's not a team player.
No. I think the part of it that I agree that like what I've seen a couple other videos about it and stuff and other cast members talking about it, and I agree that like it still definitely doesn't come across well, but I feel like it's. From everything that I've seen, it seems like it's just too obfuscated for me to have like a true opinion on it. Like everybody seems to be saying that like how they edited it was bullshit and not at all how it played out. So I have a hard time like coming to an opinion on it, because like I wasn't there to be able to see what actually happened. And if all the contestants are saying, hey, that's not what happened, you know.
But it's clearly like what happened. What happened is he didn't ask her, so she didn't do it, and she wasn't gonna do it even if he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after he goes down and she jumps, she says, "Somebody better get up here and jump for me." That's what happened. It doesn't matter how they edit it or how they like. Obviously, they edit it to make it look like that Trey was like asking her more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think people are saying. But, like, for her to not be willing to take that jump for him and then demanding someone do it for her.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with her just not doing what Marina did and going, hey, like, I'm going to do this for you. Like, Trey is too nice of a guy. He needs to say something, right, if that's what he wants. And they definitely did, like, edit it to make it look like he was stank-eyeing her and being like, really? You know, and... he probably didn't do that, right?
Mm.
I still think it's bullshit. I
think it's bullshit, too.
I think everybody who's saying, like, they kind of, something that Mai does later, and they're like, wow, I can't believe Mai did that. I just think that's absolute bullshit.
That made me more mad than...
Right.
The Ashley thing is so, like, obfuscated that it's hard for me to come to an opinion about it that, outside of, I really like Trey. This could have been avoided. And so, aside from, obviously, I don't know Ashley. So, you know, I'm not going to say Ashley's a bad person. But,
no, I'm not saying that.
You know, I know. I think the reason that they kind of, because, like, the anger that I felt in that moment was real. I got to tell you guys, I don't know that the anger that I felt, I think, is only comparable to watching the last episodes of Game of Thrones. And I haven't been that angry during most of my life watching what happened on that bridge. So I think that it seems that a lot of people's reactions to what happened on the bridge are really heightened. And I think the cast is kind of trying to pull it down a little bit and be like, look, it didn't happen exactly as it's perceived. Like, it's not as bad as you think it is. Like, does it still suck? Yes. Like, but... let's calm down a little bit, you know?
I refuse.
I think that's where I've come, is I've calmed down a little bit on that, but what still infuriates me is how they treat Mai after this.
Yeah. So Trey tries again because he doesn't want to waste everybody's time, and
he just goes. He does like three jumps, doesn't he?
On the third jump, he's wrong, and he goes.
Yeah.
Mai is mad.
Yep.
And then she
rightfully
jumps and
so.
Makes it. And Ashley jumps and makes it and immediately says, Perna, you better get your ass up here and pass me. And I wrote in all caps, no one says a word.
Yeah, that makes me even more upset. Like,
no one even goes, wait, you didn't do this for Trey. And I just think it's so insane. And maybe they edited it in a way to where it's like, oh, no one would say that. But I just don't believe it. I just don't.
I think my frustration lies less in what Ashley did and more how the rest of the group reacted to it.
Right. Right. It's like the fucking...
because...
The evil isn't in the action of man, but the indifference of man. It's like...
Because, Trey says it in his TikTok. That was the right move for her to play. You know? When we're thinking about this, like a game... Like, I guess you get, like, I get that you have to jump eventually, but.
I think it's the right move in the standpoint of, like, oh, I want people to get eliminated,
mm-hmm.
but not the right move. She got away with it, because if anybody has any cojones there, they're going to call her out and be like, I'm not jumping for you, right?
That's
why it's a bad play, but it just didn't work out that way for her, because apparently no one gave a shit.
I feel less frustration towards her for doing what she could to seemingly get ahead than I do for everybody else being like, yeah, let's not see that as a threat.
Well, for me, it's just like the hypocrisy of it, where she's not willing to do it, and then she immediately asks someone else to do it. That's what makes me mad. Like, Trey went out, and I like Trey or whatever, but it's not like, oh, Trey should have survived the end. It's
Trey
like,
Trey train. I'm on the Trey train still.
It's just like she was a hypocrite, and I that bothers me.
No, it definitely bothers me, too. I'm so frustrated by her. I'm just more frustrated by everybody else, like, not.
Yeah.
It's something wherever, whenever I watch like a movie or TV show or anything, whenever like the villain is like there, like the antagonist is there, and you're like, we all know that they did this wrong thing, but nobody does anything about it. It drives me crazy. So
I would have pushed her off the bridge if it was me.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Perna jumps and makes it because he's a sweet boy. Yes. We like Perna.
I also want to add that Ashley says, that was the saddest thing I had to watch. I'm like, why didn't you just fucking move? Anyways, yeah. Why didn't you just go? Why didn't you just overtake? But, okay.
Right. Jackie's up next, and she meditates, and people are getting frustrated. Uh-huh. And I think this is the first time when you hear Amanda's horribly annoying voice go, the clock.
Oh, my God.
The clock. She says it like 3 or 4 times, and maybe that's just editing. And like, I agree with her, but she's so damn annoying that it pisses me off. Like, I agree with her, like, being like, hey, guys, the clock. But like, she drives me crazy.
This is so interesting to me because I saw another video with Chad where Chad pretty much said that the clock wasn't like a thing.
Yeah. I know.
Like, yeah, he was saying
they make the clock seem like a thing in the editing, though.
Yeah, well, he was saying that like before they went on the bridge, the executives were like, "If you guys don't make it across in time, that ruins the show."
Right.
So,
everybody loses.
So I don't understand Amanda yelling about the clock even more, knowing that.
Well. And it makes my frustrations, I'm going to bring up later, make more sense. Because I get really frustrated when they're all, like, hugging each person as they go by and, like, that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Jackie's gone, and Phil is in absolute shambles.
Yep.
At this point, they're halfway done. Roland's up next, and he's going through hugging everybody as he goes. And you hear Amanda go again, the clock! but Roland makes it. I wrote... Elliot makes it, and then I wrote, who the fuck is Elliot? Because I don't know Elliot.
I also don't know Elliot.
Phil survives. Up next is Chad, and I wrote, his big ass is going to break the glass anyway.
Oh, my God.
Because this motherfucker jumps, dude, and it fucking shakes the bridge. The bridge rumbles.
It does.
And I was just like, holy cow, this man. He turns to Mai, and he wants Mai to make the decision for him.
I thought that was really sweet. I'm sorry. I think that's really sweet.
And she's like, don't put this on me. And he goes, no, it's on me. Just tell me. And I don't know, man. I get it. I get that they seem genuine as friends.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's weird. I don't think it's real.
I think that I've been able to believe it a little bit more as I've been like watching behind the scenes stuff about like we've been talking a lot about like, you guys have only been there 3 days. Like they've talked about a lot of the behind the scenes thing where it's like, yeah, we had like 4 days where we were living in the dorm without anything to do between games, like
yeah,
at a time.
Yeah. And I get that, but I don't know.
I just don't
like him, I guess.
Okay. And I do like him. I like him and her. I don't know. For some reason, they just come across as genuine to me.
I actually don't like my or Chad.
I know you don't like either of them. And I feel that I'm in the minority from what I've seen of
the minority.
Yeah, the minority. That was good. That was good. But there's just something about them that seems very genuine that I enjoy.
So Mai picks the right one for him. He survives. Rose is up next, and Rose's ancestors answer her call.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah, I liked that too.
Shiban? Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, yeah.
Shiban, she takes a long-ass time and then falls.
Yeah.
Rose is a bit in shambles about this.
Well, they're all like so excited because they're like, we did it. We did it. Look at it. The teamwork worked. Everything. This is a dream. And then she falls and everybody is immediately like, oh, shit.
And then here's where I wrote in all caps. They are taking so fucking long. Stop hugging everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Mikey, after doing the hug tour, goes next and he's done.
I was so mad because I loved Mikey, and it cuts to somebody and they go, gonna miss you, Mikey.
Yeah. James is up.
He's
next. James
full on sobbing
in shambles.
New Spencer.
His ass shaken is what I wrote. He asks Mai, and Mai says, go right. And he goes, and James
fucking dies.
Dies.
Yeah.
I wrote here, stop grieving and move, because they acted like the clock was gonna run out.
Yeah.
And people are acting like it's like this, like, and I get it's 15 feet in the air, but they're acting like they're walking a tightrope here.
I think that's what's kind of frustrating the most about I think that the one hurdle this show has been unable to overcome is the disconnect between how people act in the show and the reality of the situation.
Right. People are way heightened.
And to an extent, I have to wonder if they were asked to be that way, because I don't know why you would be complaining about the clock if you'd already been told that time wasn't an issue, unless they said, hey, but still play it up for the edit, you know? So right. I think that, you know, they have announced the season 2. I think that they would be better off served if they leaned a little more into it's very immersive. But I feel like that tonal disconnect isn't totally working. And I think maybe if you pulled back just a little bit on the immersiveness of it, I don't know if that's crazy of me to say, but I feel like if you pulled back just a little bit and made it feel a little more genuine and less absolutely fucking nuts, I think it would work a little bit better.
I don't know. I do feel like that's part of why this show works, though, too.
That's true. We have gotten a lot of our entertainment out of the idea of these people just acting fucking ridiculous.
Spencer.
But I guess there's a tightrope to walk.
Yeah.
There's a glass bridge.
There's a glass bridge for them to walk. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think in this episode they go a little. I don't know. I think it really depends on how well the actual person can sell it.
Yeah.
And I think there's some people that don't sell it as well.
Right.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
They get back to the dorms because everybody else makes it from there. James was the last casualty.
Yep.
And they took most of the beds out, which I think they've been taking beds out, and they
haven't really noticed.
They haven't really like highlighted it, but now they did. And Ashley says, I don't know these people from a can of paint. They're going to eliminate floaters like me first. And so, I wrote, no, it's because you didn't cooperate. But what I didn't know is that nobody except Mai gave a shit about that.
So when she was like, I don't know these people from a can of paint, I was like, you know what? Fucking fair enough. At least she's being honest.
Right.
And then she's
right.
like, she said that. I'm like, you think they're not going to vote for you because or they're going to vote? Do you think they're going to vote for you because you're a floater or because you're an asshole? Like, I don't.
Also, referring to yourself as a floater, that's tough. I feel like that just makes me think of poop. That's just like a turd in the toilet.
Not,
you know
a
what
great,
I mean?
Not a great.
I'm a floater. Like, what? I wrote Ashley talking head. Who fucking cares? I have no idea what her talking head was about.
I don't even remember what it was about, to be honest with you.
Because I did not care. I think it was something about her parents or something. I don't know. We have 12 players left. $4.44 million in the piggy bank. The announcer says the next test is tomorrow, face to face.
Yes.
And here we get a lot of, like people interacting.
They try to get you like caught up with some of the characters that we don't know as well.
Right. Chad has a thing saying the competition's picking up. Sam and Phil hang out and they're like, we hate this place. Sam has a talking head where it's the first time we really meet him. And he calls himself a little gay boy, which immediately made me think of The Hangover and what's that actor's name?
Yeah.
Because whenever I hear the term little gay boy, that's what I think. Because he would always be like, little gay boy, you know? Yeah, like, I tough for me, I guess. Amanda and B were next to each other, red light, green light, which is...
Yeah, I didn't know that. I think this is, again, where... this part of the episode didn't really hit for me.
This is pretty boring.
It's a pretty boring part of the episode. I think that this is part of the... Whenever I see a lot of people, oh, it's rigged, oh, it's rigged. I'm like, if it was rigged, it'd be more interesting.
Right,
like,
exactly.
The fact is that they spent episodes building up these characters and now they're gone and now we have to reestablish new people and make you care about them and yada yada and tell this narrative because even though it's reality TV show, it's still a TV show. There's still a narrative being told. And because of that, like when we're at the end here and like we want it, we want to feel like we're in it. The show needs to be like, okay, but now hold the fuck on because there's like unfortunately all the characters that like you know, are gone. So let's learn about these other people now. I don't think a show would choose to be structured like this.
Right. Right. Mai and Chad have a moment, and then you can tell that like Chad's trying to get something out of Mai, and she's not. She's scheming after Ashley because after Ashley did that, she said, "Hey, I need to watch out for her." And she's not telling Chad on purpose, and she makes a point to tell us in a talking head, I'm playing it close to the chest.
Yeah, I wrote down from that just he trusts her more than she trusts him. Like,
right.
Like, totally.
Well, and that's, but she's also being a good player.
Yeah,
right?
He's like, we're buddies. And she's like, there's $4 million on the line.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We can be buddies afterwards.
Chad is also worried about Elliot, B, and Amanda because they're British, which is fun.
Yeah, there's a weird, like... Oh no, the Brits are teaming up.
Right.
I'm like, are we gonna have the Revolutionary War happen? What's going on here?
Are we gonna have to throw the tea in the harbor, you know? Like what are we doing here?
I don't understand.
Ashley scheming up with Sam, and Sam in a talking head makes this comment about they're going to I don't remember the exact words, but he says we're gonna take our rightful place.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And I was like, what? Are you, like, the chosen one? What are you talking about?
Dude, they didn't give him the rank of master.
I guess not. So, day passes, lights out, wake-up call. Everybody's kind of hanging out. Ashley makes a comment about how she has to pretend to be friends with people, and she's dancing with them. Perna starts just breaking it down, dude.
Yeah, dude, he hits
and,
it.
And then we get a talking head from him, and I noticed specifically his suit coat was drippy as fuck.
It is.
It's this nice baby blue.
Yeah. He's set up.
I unfortunately didn't write anything down about his talking head. I was just mesmerized by the suit coat.
He talked about growing up in another country.
Yeah.
It was.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember anything like super important off the top of my head from it.
Yeah. I also noted
we're in the realm of like these people are kind of normal.
Right.
So their talking heads are less interesting, or not less interesting, but less memorable than like I'm.
Perna didn't call Jesus the ultimate competitor, you know?
And say like compassion is weakness or whatever. Like, he didn't recite the Sith code in his fucking
in
his fucking talking head. So it's a little
less
memorable.
Have you ever heard the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Dude, I wish that the first time we saw Lorenzo talking head, that had been what he'd said. He just looked at him. Have you ever heard the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
It's not a story the Jedi would tell you. I want to know also that we come back to them dancing, and it's B's turn to dance, and she does the fucking Macarena.
Yeah.
Which, it's like, what is this, 1997? Why are you doing the Macarena?
Hey, man. I don't have any defense for this.
It's pretty wild. So the guards come in and they bring out a rope, which I was pretty terrified by. And then they put a big old die in there.
Yes.
In the rope. They make it a triangle and put a die in there. And then they have to select a leader. And I noticed Mai immediately raises her hand, but so does Amanda and Elliot.
Uh-huh.
And Chad pulls out this like, hey, Mai is going to do the right thing here. She's going to be a fair leader. She is gonna do the right thing. Remember,
you know,
TJ, how good of a leader he was? This is Mai, all right?
And you know what? Guess what? Mai does do the right thing here.
She does. She does. Not in their eyes, but in our eyes.
Yeah.
So they begrudgingly go, okay, Mai's the leader. And then the game is, if you roll a six, the game is to agree, but if you roll a six... before you roll, you select either yourself or someone else in the group, and if you roll a six, that person is eliminated, whether it's yourself or the person you selected. And so they kind of do the thing that they've been doing every game, like, okay, we only nominate ourselves, so it's fair. And everybody's like, yeah, no, that sounds good. No, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And then Mai goes, I'm nominating Ashley. And everybody's like, what? And even Chad's like, wow, That's kind of classless, like that. Mai just did that.
What frustrates me about this as well is nobody handles this well, because at no point either does Mai go like, by the fucking way, I'm doing this because Ashley fucking killed Trey. Like,
she says something cryptic like, oh, she's not a team player or something, and like, it's like, sure, but like,
come out and say it. Like, look, Trey's gone because of her. Here's the situation. Like, nobody handles this right.
Right. Ashley's crying.
Yeah.
During this, which I thought was pretty hilarious. And Mai fucks up and rolls a four.
Yep.
So then she picks Roland, because you pick the next person to roll next, and it's Roland. He nominates himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, doesn't eliminate himself, and he says, I've never rolled a six in my entire life, and I'm not starting today. And then he doesn't roll a six. What
based.
A fucking Chad, dude.
Based, dude.
Fucking
so fucking based.
Yeah. Sam is next, nominates himself. He does not roll a six. Haley is next, does not roll a six. Also, Haley might be the love of my life, I've decided.
What was I telling you, Mike?
No. Hold on. You weren't like convincing me. I just didn't know who she was. And mm-hmm. I said, Sean, I pay attention to redheads, okay?
Yeah. And I knew
and
who she was.
And I've been paying attention, and I've seen her on Instagram, and she Ooh. Lives in Chicago, Illinois, which is pretty close to me. Just kidding. I'm happily in a relationship. Just in case Tara ever listens to this, I'm not gonna go hunt down this redheaded woman. But she cute and she's safe. She makes it. B is next and goes, yo, I always roll sixes. I'm actually really good at rolling sixes.
Yeah.
And for some fucking reason, she rolls a six and she's done. I don't understand this woman. Why is she so good at things?
You know? She's really good at things. I don't know what to tell you. It is kind of crazy that she's that fucking good at everything. Like, I don't know. I feel like she should like be a Twitch streamer or something.
Right. She should be in the gaming community.
I mean, apparently she's in the industry somehow, but I feel like I want to see those fucking, like, reflexes in like a CSGO match. I don't fucking watch CSGO. And yeah, I'm not going to start.
What are you talking about?
But I might start for B, but I'm probably not going to start. But
so moving on, Ashley's up next. And I typed, I don't remember what he says, but I typed, shut up, Roland.
He says, you've been targeted. You were thrown under the bus.
Mai's like, I didn't target her. And she's like, okay, sorry, I used the wrong choice of words.
It's like, okay, no, you did target her, but you targeted her because she fucking killed Trey. Trey's dead because of her. And I know Trey's not actually dead, but he's dead because of her.
She chooses Mai and makes the point, hey, I already got targeted once, it's only fair. And everybody's like, yeah, that's fair, right? But she does not roll a six. Elliot does not roll a six. Perna rolls a six. See you, Perna. Nice talking head earlier. Phil and Amanda are safe. And then Chad gives this weird speech like he knows he's eliminated.
Yeah.
Like, he just gives this speech where he's like, you know, it's been great, everybody, and I appreciate that we all work together on this, and then rolls a six.
Maybe he gave the speech afterwards and they just edited it.
Yeah, maybe. But then Mai attacks Chad.
Yep.
Like he's her husband going off to war.
It's really like, sad to me.
She starts beating the shit out of Chad.
It's really
rolled the dice wrong, Mai. Relax.
I don't know. I feel like I have a little more. I don't know. I think it made me feel a little more sad than it did you.
Yeah, I wasn't into it.
But then Ashley is like, "This is what you get. This is karma." And I wrote down, "Bitch, what the fuck are you talking about? You're the devil. You're the actual devil."
Which, I hate a bitch trying to feel sorry for themselves.
That might be harsh. You know, maybe look. I was in my feelings when I typed that, but I stand by it.
Yeah.
You are in the way that this is portrayed as a character on a reality TV show, the devil in this scenario. You don't get to karma Mai, you know, like get the fuck out of here.
And then there's no cliffhanger. She kind of just like says karma's a bitch to Mai and there's no cliffhanger. And that's the episode. I will tell you, Sean, the next episode.
Oh.
Features my favorite game they play in the whole show.
Okay, exciting.
It's really good. And there is a like standout performer in this game, and I'm so excited for you to watch it.
I'm excited because I feel like doing the bridge game over essentially two episodes has kind of broken the flow a bit for me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can even look at this episode. This is going to be our shortest episode that we've recorded.
Right.
But this one, I don't know. I wasn't feeling this one as much as, the bridge stuff at the beginning was really good, but like once they got off the bridge, I think I was feeling it a little bit less than previous ones.
Part of it is because the contestants have taken this stance of, oh, we're all in this together with all these games. And it makes the dice game really boring, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was hoping there would be someone that would like, you know, go against the grain here besides Mai, right? Like someone just goes, you know what? I don't really like the way Phil looked at me. And then, you know what I mean? Like, or like Leanne with the apples early on, right?
Everyone's,
and there's nothing like that.
Everyone's being just like a little too nice.
Yeah.
For
agreed.
Us to be this late in the game, it's like, it's just, which is a crazy thing to say about like, you know, people. You're like, you're being too nice. But for like the entertainment value of the show, it definitely impacts it a bit.
Well, and what's really crazy about it is, you know, early on you and I were talking about how people are like, this reality show is completely against the message of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I posed the argument that because these people are being so money hungry, maybe this is the exact purpose, you know, like it's the exact same theme of the show, where I feel like here it kind of, with the exception of the Mai and Ashley stuff, everybody's being very like respectful with $4.6 million on the line.
This has not gone at all how I thought it was going to.
No,
as we got, I feel like people were more cutthroat when, and I mean, like that might just be the thing of when there's a larger crowd, it's easier to be cutthroat when it's, you know, you don't really know everybody. And when you get down to 20 people or whatever, like 12 or whatever, it's harder to, you know, to be cutthroat if you know these people. a little bit better. So yeah, I think it's been an interesting change.
And I do think you'll get a little more into that in this next game, like I said, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons I like it. But it, everybody's just way too nice. And I feel like if I were to try out for the season two of this and I got this far, I would stop being nice at this point.
Yeah.
Not in like a dickhead way, but like in the games, it's like, hey, we don't know what game we're playing next. This Chad motherfucker's like 6'4".
Yeah.
I'm rolling the dice at him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's like 6'4", and he made the glass shake.
Right. Like he made the whole motherfucking bridge almost came down when he Hulk jumped to the next thing of glass, dude. Like,
yeah.
Like someone take this man out, you know?
He's the Hulk, dude.
Right.
We can't fight this guy. When they make us do the squid game and we have to fucking knife each other in the rain, I'm not going to win that.
Right. Sean, I'm a little depressed because this was the episode I was going to ask you, hey, who do you think is going to win this thing?
Oh.
But you know who wins.
Yeah. I'm upset. I feel like it's... I don't know. I mean, I think you can tell what the tone is. It definitely is frustrating and... I had hoped to come into it with a little more like, yeah, I'm going to make this fiery and like exciting, but I don't know. That's just not in me right now.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I just wanted to give you one more opportunity to try and kill the
CEO.
But
I will say, if you know a hitman, I look, you know my Twitter. I say it every episode. Just like DM me, you know, like if you know one, like if you just happened to know one. You know, like that happens a lot, right, Mike? People just happen to know
right.
hitmen sometimes.
I want to read you one of my notes.
Okay.
From the next episode.
Okay.
No context.
Okay.
It says in all caps, motherfucking Phoenix Wright in this bitch. Can he do it again? What a fucking legend. In all caps.
Okay.
So just out of context for you.
Okay.
Sean, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Sean_AFK. If you happen to know a hitman, hit me up.
And you can follow me at Spaghetti Bros. I want nothing to do with any hitmen. So please don't send hitmen my way. Sean, I agree to end this episode.
I also agree to end this episode.
Bye.
Bye.
So, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills,
uh-huh.
It was revealed that in 2019, he gave a speech to the team wanting them in the team meeting to come together with communication styles similar to the terrorist group that performed 9/11. And ever since I read that, I'm spiraling as a person. There's been a lot of Wow, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor is tomorrow. I wonder what Sean McDermott has to say about that. So a lot of things, and he like his apology was just kind of like not really an apology. He's like, I apologized at the time because it was out of line, and then someone's like, so like, what exactly did you say? Because it was kind of like, and he's like, I was talking about camaraderie and communication. So basically what he's saying is he thinks 9/11 was like Ocean's 11. And thinks it's really cool. So that's where I'm at right now. Mm. And I think that the people on the bridge just really need to come together and execute the plan.
Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo. Can you open the episode with you just going,
I will absolutely not. I will absolutely not. 100%
just telling
not.
That little story right at the beginning, because that's incredible.
It might be at the end.
Okay.
We'll see.
Like a post-credits scene.
Yeah.